Beloved radio friends, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, we greet you heartily and welcome you sincerely to the study of God's Word as we continue our meditation and our discussion from the Epistle of Paul written to the Galatians. We're in chapter 5. Today we shall commence with verse 5 and by God's grace and help continue through verse 9. For as the Spirit of God continues writing to us through his servant the great Apostle Paul, following his declaration at the end of verse 4 regarding the Christians of Galatia when he said, "Ye are fallen from grace," he concludes the whole matter by saying in verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Note very carefully, he does not say, "We through the Spirit are waiting to be justified," but "We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Now what is this hope? This hope is the glory of God in Christ. We believers have the righteousness of God now, when Christ becomes our Savior. But we do not have the hope of this. For when we believe on Christ, we become the righteousness of God in Christ, as Romans 3:22 declares. We have the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness of God is unto all, and it is upon all them that believe. And my sinner friend, if you are listening to these words, in Christ and through Christ, by faith in Christ and his finished work of the cross, you can be made righteous before a holy God through the atoning blood of the cross, if you will trust Christ and his work of redemption for you. My Christian friend, when God brought you and me to Christ as our Savior, God placed his righteousness upon us, even upon all them that believe on the Lord Jesus. But according to what we read in Galatians 5 and verse 5, there is a hope that belongs to this God-given righteousness, and it is the hope of the glory of God. Let me read the words of God that are found in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand," and note the next words, "and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." In Romans 5:1, we have the righteousness. And in the second verse at the very end of it, we have the hope of righteousness. And that hope of righteousness, what is it? That you and I, believers, shall be with Christ someday, and in the very same glory that he will have, we shall have also. For this the believer is waiting. And meanwhile, the believer possesses the Spirit of God, that through the Spirit of God we wait for the hope of righteousness in that coming day of glory. Today we have the righteousness of God, but someday we shall have the glory of God, my fellow believer. Now what did this mean in relation to the Galatian believers? And in their particular situation, well, by putting themselves as they had done under law, they were hoping to be justified. Paul declares, "You're already justified by faith in Christ." And instead of waiting to be justified by the Spirit, you are to be waiting for the glory that is come, the hope of righteousness, which is that coming glory. Then in verse 6, Paul declares, there is a great reality in the believer's moral condition, as he writes concerning this. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now let us know very carefully the teaching of Paul and the sequence of truth that he presents. Let me enumerate it. First, Paul declares, the believer in the Lord Jesus is already justified before God by faith. Second, the believer in the Lord Jesus has a hope, hoping and waiting for the coming glory of God. But then also, the believer has by faith a practical sanctification. He does not need to be under the law for this, but faith worketh by love, declares the apostle. He does not need to be under the law to obtain this practical sanctification. His faith works by love to achieve it. Faith which worketh by love will do what the law sought to do but could never do. The love of God in the believer's heart is a far greater influence than the law of Moses could ever be. And the love of God in the believer will enable him and teach him how to live for God and Christ. We must quote again from Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, where Paul writes to say, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. When God's love in its fullness is in us, the effect of that is it enables us to love God as well as to love others. No wonder the apostle said, and I quote Romans 13 verse 10, love is the fulfilling of the law. For when our hearts are happy in the love of God, we shall thus be enabled to love others. But this the law of Moses could never do for me. Now as we continue in verses 7 through 9 of this chapter in Galatians, chapter 5, we find the apostle reproaching the believers of the Galatian churches and saying to them, ye did run well. Now what did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. First he reproaches them for having listened to the false teachers, who had pressed upon them the rite of circumcision. When they confessed Christ as their Savior, they had begun well in their Christian path. But the effect of the teachers of law had hindered them going on and making progress in God's truth. And what had taken place was definitely not from God, the one who had called them by the gospel. Now the words of the apostle here in verse 9 are a very practical admonition. They define a principle that every Christian and every Christian group of believers should realize. Listen to the words of Paul. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little leaven will spread. It will affect the whole body, as the apostle declares. Now let me dwell upon this in our remaining time, and upon the expression dwell, regarding this little leaven. We have in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 very similar words when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said to them, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth or affecteth the whole lump? Now on that particular occasion, the sin that Paul referred to was of a moral nature. There was a frightful moral corruption being tolerated in the church at Corinth, and Paul demanded it to be cleansed and be put out. And any moral corruption in the midst of a church will spread, and it will spoil the whole testimony for Christ and for God. God will not tolerate moral sin. He cannot continue to bless his people where such thing exists. And he demands such to be judged as well as put away and out of the testimony, if we are to know his pleasure and his delight and his blessing. And thus in Corinthians, it was of a moral character that sin had entered into the assembly of believers. Now in Galatians, in the churches of Galatia, it was a different kind of corruption. It was not moral, but it was doctrinal. Unsound doctrine, but it was spreading just like leaven. And God says it will have a widening influence among you. It will ruin your whole testimony. For may I repeat that doctrinal evil is as dangerous as moral evil. Neither of them should be tolerated within the churches of saints. And God treats doctrinal evil as the most offensive thing, and he demands it to be purged out, even as he did the moral sin at Corinth. The Corinthian sin of immorality may seem greater in the sight of men, but we may perhaps be correct if we say that the Galatians had fallen into an error that was deeper and struck more deeply at the foundations of God's grace. My fellow believer in the Lord Jesus, may I raise a solemn question? Will you think with me very carefully about the general conditions of the church at large today? If you think sanely and clearly about them, can I ask this? Do you not believe with me that our Savior can justly accuse us of permitting these two evils to exist? Moral evil of corruption and doctrinal evil of corruption. It matters not what a man may think about it, but what does God think of it? Oh, as we come to the close of the message, my prayer is this, that every Christian will say, Lord, please deliver me from moral evil and keep me also from doctrinal evil, that I may walk in happy fellowship with thee. My beloved fellow believers, may God help to keep you and me clean from moral and doctrinal sin. Oh, Father, we pray thy word will be blessed to thy glory amongst the saints everywhere in our Savior's name. Amen.